we can't overlook the fact that this team is super talented. If you just want to say, oh, our biggest strength is we're more talented than the world, I can't dispute that. But there are other smaller facets of our game here for USA that I think are very important and what's going to give us a leg up on the competition. What's good, everybody? Welcome back to Business Casual Basketball. This is Aaron coming back at you guys for another podcast. This is 152. Glad you all have taken the time to join this episode. Just me on this podcast, so bear with me as I go solo, but excited to talk some Olympic basketball. All eyes are shifting now to the international scene as we have approached the end of the NBA season. Feels like every year goes by a little bit faster. Can't believe we're already at the end of the 2021 season. It was an incredible finals, incredible series. Giannis had a series for the ages, and he impressed a lot of people. I've spoken at length about the playoffs, the finals, the Bucks. Go check out my last podcast with Miren Fader. It was an incredible conversation about Giannis's journey and her book about Giannis and his journey from just a kid in Greece all the way up to being unbelievably the finals MVP going against the Suns in the playoffs. So that was incredible, but now it's time to shift our gears a little bit. The draft is in a week. Free agency is shortly after that. And this weekend begins the 2021 Olympic Games. Now, we know that it was supposed to be last year, but circumstances have changed that a little bit. But we find ourselves in a new era of USA basketball. We have some holdovers. We have a lot of new faces. And the international competition is getting better and better every year. And this year is going to be no different. It's going to be a stiff challenge for USA basketball. And there are some things going for and against this team that I want to address in this podcast as we're looking forward to our international team having some really great games coming up against some amazing international competition. So that brings us to international basketball. That's where we find ourselves here at the end of July as we move forward into the next phase of the basketball calendar. You guys know by now, if you've been a part of basketball in any capacity for any amount of time, the calendar is 24/7, 365. It really doesn't stop. After the NBA season, we have free agency, we have the draft, we have the rumors, we have training camp. This year's the Olympics, which makes it even better. So, I mean, Big Three basketball is back. So if you look at across the board, Summer League is coming up in 2.5 weeks. There is no stoppage of play, basically, if you look at the entire calendar of the year. I would say the only real downtime might be September, something like that, but like, it's really not much if we're looking at the entire calendar of the year. So with that in mind, we have to shift our gears now to international basketball. Team USA has historically dominated the competition. We know this. The Nigerian beatdown back in 2012 where Melo hit, I want to say like 10 threes or something like that. One of the greatest USA victories in terms of margin that we've ever seen. But we've come a long way since then. More specifically, the world has. So if we're going to look at what they have to offer, they have a lot more NBA players, NBA caliber talent that they can throw at us in response to what we have to throw out there. Now, in terms of raw talent, I don't think anybody is going to argue that Team USA is still at the top of the heap. If we're looking at who we have to throw out there to the world, KD, I mean, you go down the board, Damian Lillard, these are guys that are almost pretty much unstoppable if they're in a groove. No one else in the world has players like that. But it doesn't mean we're unstoppable. We've seen from the World Cup just a few years ago that we are very beatable. France took us out. I mean, we've even lost some exhibition games here in the early part of the Olympic run here in 2021, which I'm going to get to in a minute. But let's start with the roster construction of this team. And to help me break this down for you guys, if you're not quite aware of who's on this team, I'm going to share my screen here on StreamYard if you're watching this live so you can see what I'm talking about. But essentially, what we are looking at here is the roster for Team USA. So you guys can see this on your screen here. I'm really a fan of most of the players that USA has gone out and recruited for this team. And I'm not just talking about the star talent. Of course, anybody's going to tell you that, like, yes, KD is on our team. Damian Lillard's on our team. We're stacked. We're ready to go. We had Bradley Beal before COVID protocols, unfortunately, took him out of the action. But I've highlighted some strengths and weaknesses that I've seen from this team as we go across the board. So the first thing I want to highlight is the versatility of this team. Look at the wings that this team has to offer. Kevin Durant, Jeremy Grant, Adebayo, Draymond Green, Drew Holiday, Keldon Johnson, Chris Middleton. These are players that can play multiple positions. Not only that, they can defend multiple positions, and they can play different roles on the court. Let's take Chris Middleton, for instance, right here. He's a 6'7 shooting small forward. He's played shooting guard in the past, but you've seen the role that he played for the Bucks just recently over the past few weeks in the finals. He can defend twos and threes, maybe some fours. He can handle the ball in the pick and roll. He can spot up for three. He can create his own shot at three and the mid-range. Not much of a finisher or anything like that in the paint, but he's a very efficient player, extremely efficient, and he can just make things happen on the court, whether it's as a result of other players helping him out or just going solo in an isolation situation. So that's very important if we're talking about having players that can do a lot of different things, because that's the world's advantage, honestly. They have a lot of players that have been in supplementary roles. They're not afraid to do the little things. So we had to have players on this team that are not afraid to get their hands dirty. I think that's a major reason why you see Draymond Green on this roster. Gritty player. Can defend almost every position on the court. He gets under the basket. He rebounds. He defends up positions. He defends down positions. Guards. Centers. He can make the play for other guys. He can pass extremely well. Extremely high basketball IQ. Yeah, we can get into his offensive limitations, but that's why guys like LaVine are here, right? That's why Beal was here. That's why Jason Tatum is there. That's why Booker, KD, we have plenty of scoring. But what the team needs a little bit more of are the guys that are going to do the little things. So if we're going to continue on to another plus of this team, we're looking at the positives, the scoring prowess. I touched on this a little bit already. Create their own shots from multiple areas of the floor. Kevin Durant, prime example. He can sauce you up from three. He can sauce you up from two. He can blow by you. He can get some dunks. Whatever he wants to get shot-wise, he's going to get. Basically, all you can do as an opponent is hope he misses. You're not going to force many turnovers. You're not going to block many shots unless you're Matisse Thybulle or a player of his caliber on defense, and you just have extraordinary defensive capabilities. Otherwise, good luck. You have your work cut out for you. And it's really incredible that we've done so well scoring the ball with three players missing. Booker is on his way over right now, as well as new champions, Drew Holiday and Chris Middleton. So across the roster, the scoring prowess is going to be there. That's extremely valuable. There's a high ceiling for floor spacing with this team. You have a lot of deep shooters. I mean, Zach LaVine, Exhibit A, he was one of the best tough shot makers in the league this past season. I don't know what he shot contested, but it was a pretty high percentage. It was extremely impressive what he was able to do with a hand in his face. Jason Tatum, Damian Lillard, another prime example of this. He could pull up from 30. He could pull up from 35. He was draining half-court shots in the All-Star game. If you guys can think back a little bit earlier in the year to February or March, half-court. So this is a player that the defense has to respect as soon as he passes half-court. That is something that I don't think anybody else in the world can really duplicate from any one player on the roster. That's incredible. Now let's talk about the athletes on this team. The first guy that comes to mind with athletes, Keldon Johnson. If you guys watched what he did against Spain the other night in their last exhibition game, it was so impressive. He runs the floor hard. He cuts. He rebounds. He gets after it on the defensive end. He's only 21, but I mean, he plays way bigger than 6'5". You know, like I'm going to highlight that here, but he's very stout. He's got 220 on his frame. He could defend pretty big players because he's a big guy himself, even though he's not the tallest guy out there. Zach LaVine, slam dunk champion twice. He's going to get up and down that court. He's going to throw down some dunks. He's going to blow by some people, right? That's what he does. Bam Adebayo, extremely athletic. If you catch him just right on the pick and roll, he's going to throw down some dunks for sure. He's going to rise up. He has some posters on his resume. Don't forget now. Like, he hasn't been in the dunk contest or anything, but he can get up. So, I mean, there's definitely some athletes on this team. Damian Lillard, when we're talking about his speed, he's not the outright fastest player in the league. But his acceleration, his first step is deadly. If he's going to catch you leaning one way off of a triple threat situation, he's going to take off the opposite direction. It's hard to recover after that. Even though he's not the fastest guy, he has great acceleration. And he's an extremely good finisher at the rim. So in transition, you really can't sleep on Damian Lillard. He's got that in spades. Jason Tatum, very good athlete. You know, he could throw down some dunks as well. He has some posters on his resume. So you look up and down this roster, we have pretty much one of the most athletic, if not the most athletically gifted team in the world. Jeremy Grant, another great example. Get out the way when he's headed down downhill on you. So that's pretty much what I've highlighted as far as the strengths of this team. We can't overlook the fact that this team is super talented. If you just want to say, oh, our biggest strength is we're more talented than the world, I can't dispute that. But there are other smaller facets of our game here for USA that I think are very important and what's going to give us a leg up on the competition. Now, we have to acknowledge that there's some shortcomings. They're exposed by Australia. They're exposed by Nigeria, our first two opponents in exhibition play. Now, that's not to say that we can't clear things, some things up with these weaknesses, but they're going to be there in one way or another as we progress through the play, as we progress through the Olympic games. So obviously, this is not a team with a lot of natural playmakers. Devin Booker, he can get some guys involved, right? Bam is a plus playmaker, definitely, from certain parts of the floor. Draymond Green, he's going to dime some guys up. That's what he does that on he pretty often. But other than that, no one really stands out to me as somebody that's going to say, hey, go get in your spots. I'm going to set you up. I'm going to find you off the pick and roll. Just go get in position. I'm going to hit you for a cross-court dime or something like that. Lillard's a good playmaker. I see a few good playmakers. I don't see anybody exceptional. There's no Lucas on this team. There's no Trae Youngs on this team. I don't see the absolute best passers. Ben Simmons, you know, guys that are anticipate passes more than just react to passes, if that makes sense. The best passers in the game see two or three steps ahead of what's going on the court. And the guys we have on this team are not quite that caliber. Granted, they can make some plays, and I think they're good enough playmakers, but it's a weakness. So we're not going to have guys that average any more than, I would say, 5 assists a game. That's just the way it's going to be. But I wouldn't say that's a death knell by any stretch of the imagination. If you have a team that can just outright score people off the gym, it's less of an issue. If we didn't have guys like Damian Lillard and Kevin Durant here, I would be a little bit worried. But I don't think that's a huge deal when it comes to how this team is constructed because of where we're strong in other areas to offset that. Now, of course, we have some guys that can score on this team, create some shots for themselves. But at the same time, that means those same players are a little bit prone to looking for their own shot as opposed to making the extra pass. We've seen Zach LaVine fall into this trap a little bit. Devin Booker has been prone to fall into that trap. Just go back and look at some finals games. The Bucks basically baited him into isolations pretty often. Like, we're looking at how they defended Devin Booker. They said, okay, you want to be a one-man army? Go ahead. Go ahead and try to beat us by yourself. But sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. It just kind of depends how that player is performing that night. If they're on their game, sure, that's a viable option. But if not, it could definitely come back to hurt you. And it takes away from other players. Like, that's going to hurt Jeremy Grant's touches. You know, it's going to help. It's going to hurt Keldon Johnson's touches. It's going to hurt Draymond's touches. It's going to hurt these guys that derive off of looks created by other players, JaVale McGee. So it's something to keep an eye on. Will the isolation game take over? Because we saw that in a little bit later on, or actually, I have to say earlier on in the exhibition games when we were trying to claw our way back from a deficit in the fourth quarter, and it just came down to 5 dribbles and a jump shot with no passes. It's definitely something to keep an eye on. Now, off ball is something else that this team is going to work on. There aren't natural cutters on this team outside of, I would say, Keldon. Keldon Johnson's a pretty good cutter. Jeremy Grant can do that every now and then. But there are no guys like, think of Mikal Bridges or like a Joe Harris. Guys that just instinctively know when to backdoor guys, when to move off the ball, when to lift out of a corner, shake out of a corner. That basically means if the ball is on, let's say, the other side of the court, you're on the weak side. Sometimes to give the offensive player with the ball a better angle to pass it to, you have to slide up from the corner to the wing. That's called a lift in basketball terms. So there aren't many guys that are going to do that instinctively, just naturally, because it's a habit. Maybe they can grow into that as the games accumulate, but it's not something that it's just going to be, it's going to happen naturally. It's going to take some practice, if that makes sense. The last thing, we can't forget about the defense, guys. Like, defense is very important. Now, I did say that this team is very versatile, and yes, there's some guys that can shift positions. Like, if you go watch some USA basketball, we switch almost every screen between Tatum and guys like Draymond and Kelvin. That's going to happen a lot, but we are prone to falling into mismatches when it comes to who we're guarding. So you would see that against Spain a lot in that last exhibition game. It would be, let's say, like Zach LaVine guarding Pau Gasol in the post, or Marc Gasol in the post, or Hernan Gomez. It's things like that are going to happen because we switch so much. We're going to fall into mismatches, and that just means that the defense has to be a little bit more attentive to when that happens so they're ready to help. So definitely got to keep an eye on that one, because we're not the biggest team out there. We can get exploited because our biggest guy is Bam. And after that, it's Draymond Green at 6'6", 235. So teams like Spain and France with Rudy Gobert, they're going to look to capitalize on that. We have to be careful about how we guard screens and how often we switch. So not many great individual defenders, but the reinforcements will definitely help. Kelvin helps in that department a lot. Jrue Holiday will help an immense amount. Like, he's the player I'm most excited to head over to Tokyo to help out this team, because you saw what he can do to guys like Chris Paul. Like, if you can strip Chris Paul and Devin Booker consistently, or even semi-consistently, you can strip anyone in the world, pretty much. You can guard anyone. So it doesn't matter who Holiday's matched up against. Even if he loses 10% of his effectiveness from the finals, we're going to be in good shape if he's pressuring ball handlers, especially when we get to those teams that have some of the better talent from the backcourt. So that kind of brings me to the second point that I want to highlight here. And it's basically going to be recent developments. So I have some box scores pulled up here that I want to highlight. And essentially what I want to do is just kind of take us a look through a little bit of a timeline as to where we've been up into where we're at now. So you can see here on the screen, I've highlighted the first exhibition that we had 12 days ago against Nigeria. I have to point out that this is pretty disrespectful that Nigeria doesn't have a logo on the USA page. They got to fix that, because Nigeria is they're pretty legit. They got some NBA players. So if we shift down to the box score, it's obvious that they got some guys. You look at KZ Opala, Precious Achiuwa, Gabe Vincent, three out of the four first names that you see on this box score sheet are Heat players. And look at what Gabe Vincent did to us. 21 points, 6 threes made out of 8, 6 of 9 from the field. That's pretty impressive, if you ask me. We had Caleb Agada put up 17 on 7 of 10 shooting, 3 for 3 from downtown. Obi Emigano, sorry if I'm butchering some of these names. Actually, this is Ike down here, 3 of 5 from the field, 2 of 4. So you add it all up, they made 20 threes out of 42. Now, I did not expect another team come in here and blitz us with 20 threes. I would have thought we would have 20 threes. But if you scroll down to USA, we only had 10. So they doubled us up on threes. But we got a lot more free throw attempts. That's what kept us in the game, 32 to their 10. So that really made a difference. But, you know, honestly, it's tough to win that way if you're going against a team that's going to bomb from downtown. Now, I wouldn't bet on that. I'll bet on them doing that again. But, man, that team is legit. They have a lot of guys here. And a theme that basically occurred in this game as well as the following game was the fact that USA wasn't quite in the kind of shape that they got to be in to really compete at a high level in the entire game. The fourth quarter was the difference. That's where Nigeria really took off, and it resulted in Kevin Durant having to take over the game just to give us a chance to win. He only shot 4 of 13, but I want to say most of those came in the fourth quarter. I'm pretty sure. 7 free throws made. He only made 2 threes. So it resulted in a hero ball, and I think that was their demise in that game.
Listen, I love podcasting. Who doesn't? The process is great until you get to the part where you have to edit and distribute your podcast. It's time-consuming, and we all love convenience. Well, here's the most convenient option possible. It's called Anchor. There's creation tools in the app that will allow you to record and edit right from your phone, tablet, or computer. It will distribute your podcast for you on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and other popular platforms. You can make money from your podcast with minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So go to the free Anchor app or anchor.fm right now to get started. And trust me, you won't regret it.
Australia was kind of the same thing. When you go and look at this stat sheet here, I think that the USA has gotten better progressively in every game. It started out pretty bad, if we're being honest. But, I mean, it's not like we got blown out. I mean, we lost by 3, you know, in that first game. Moving forward to the second game, it was an 8-point margin, but it was again, it was close in the fourth quarter. It came down to the last 3 minutes of the game. Now, Kevin Durant starting to get his form together. Yes, you can see he got up to 6 of 13 from the field. Lillard got his groove. Bradley Beal had a very efficient game. So, I mean, again, scoring is not going to be the problem. 46% from the field, 13 threes made, not bad, 36%. Only 12 free throws in this game, surprisingly, but it's still more than 10 that Australia had. And they actually made less threes. So the three-point shot was not the reason that USA lost that second game. It was the lack of defense. You know, they put up 91 points, just not going to cut it. Patty Mills scorched us for 22. It took 21 field goal attempts, but, you know, that's Patty Mills for you. He's going to run and gun. He's going to do whatever it takes to win. Thybulle, what a line. Look at this line. 3 steals, 2 blocks, 3 assists, 12 points, 2 threes. That dude is nice, man. I really like Thybulle's game. He's super impressive. And you go up and down this list, you see Joe Ingles chipping in. You see Landale with 4 or 5. So, I mean, up and down. I mean, Aaron Baines only played 3 minutes. So it was a rough couple of games, but I didn't panic. I hope you guys didn't panic, because it's 2 exhibition games with a team that had very little practice time, very little chemistry, and guys that just came off a layoff. Guys that had finished a playoff run, that took a break, and then they jumped back into Olympic competition after 2 weeks of practice. So it's going to happen. It's going to be a slow process. But then we see them kind of break through in this third game against Argentina. So the 3-point shot got a little bit better. 13 threes again, but on 29 attempts, so 44%. 26 free throws attempted to 21 for Argentina, and they only made 9 threes. I'm not really worried about Argentina. I'm going to get to who I think the biggest threats are in a minute. I don't think Argentina is one of them. Not to be disrespectful, but I think they're aging. I don't think they really had the bodies to really keep up with USA basketball. Just the sheer offensive output, I don't think it's there for Argentina, but they're still very disciplined. They're a very good team. I would not be surprised to see them medal. But if USA runs up against Argentina for gold or something like that, I'm not that worried. I think USA should take that game handedly, as they did in that 108-80 victory. That was a very impressive game. And then the last exhibition game that I mentioned a little bit earlier against Spain, this is one of my threats for USA, because they have Marc Gasol and Pau Gasol. Neither of them are the players they were in the last Olympics or the Olympics before that, but they are still very solid players. Rubio had 23 points, only made 1 3, but I mean, it's freaking Rubio. You know, he shifted his game to a scoring mentality recently. He's very impressive. You can't sleep on Rubio. Willie Hernan Gomez feasted on post mismatches all night. And then some other guys sent some solid games, but here we go again, 12 threes. If USA is going to make 12 to 15 threes every game, that's a great recipe for success. They only had 13 free throws in this one. So it definitely changed the equation a little bit as far as getting free throws. But USA was just very efficient in this game. That's what made the difference. They were very solid defensively. They got out in transition. Keldon Johnson had a lot of great cuts. You know, he feasted off of the defense, paying a lot of attention to guys like LaVine and KD. This game was a breakthrough. This is the real breakthrough. USA tapped into that athleticism that just comes from every position. And Spain is another team that's long in the tooth. They're a little bit older. So it makes sense to run it up at them a little bit to get them off balance, off kilter, and get them old legs running. And that's going to give us the advantage every time. So that's where we were. And this is where we're looking at as far as what group we're in for the Olympics. So we're paired up with Iran, France, and the Czech Republic. France is the big threat here. That's actually our first opponent. If you go to Sunday, we have France at 8 a.m. So that's definitely a game to keep an eye on. Going forward from there, we have Iran on Wednesday, and we have the Czech Republic next Saturday. So the last two teams, I think USA should take pretty easily, but France is going to be a very stiff test. And I think that's a good time to transition into the biggest threats for USA basketball. So I'm going to take my screen share off at this time. And we're going to think about who USA could potentially struggle against for this international competition. I have three teams on this list. Now, you can come up with, maybe a fourth if you want. But really, these three teams are the ones I identified off the bat as saying we could have some trouble with these teams. The first of which is Spain that I mentioned earlier. Pau Gasol, Marc Gasol, Rubio, Hernan Gomez brothers. Not only do they have NBA talent, they have top-tier NBA talent. Marc and Pau Gasol are previous All-Stars, previous All-NBA. So they're not to be taken lightly, even at an older age. You know, they have a lot of experience, a ton of experience. Pau and Marc have played in multiple Olympics. Rubio's played in multiple Olympics. Rubio's been a pro in Europe since 15 years old or 14, something like that. So, I mean, these guys have been around the game of basketball on a high level for a long time. So, obviously, I think they have an advantage over us when it comes to experience. They move the ball very well. They're very disciplined. They're well coached. So, we took the victory in the exhibition round, but when it comes to the actual Olympic run, can't sleep on them. They won the World Cup back in, 2018, I believe it was. So very solid team. Can't take them lightly for a second. They have a lot to offer for a variety of reasons. They're going to be around in this tournament. I would not be surprised if they at least got bronze just because of what they've done in the past. They've been the stiffest competitor for USA for a long time, since 2008. So can't sleep on them, guys. You really can't. I know USA knows that for a fact, and they're gonna act accordingly because they have a lot of talent. The second team we're looking at here is France. Now let me go to the France roster here so we can see who they have on this roster that can give us some problems. Obviously, Rudy Gobert is the headliner, reigning defensive player of the year. Yeah, I'd say that's a pretty big threat. I would be concerned, and it's someone I would key in on if I'm USA. Now, there's actually a few more names in this list. Nicholas Batum. I think we've heard of him by now. He had a pretty good run, a revival run this season with the Clippers. Very impressive. Evan Fournier. Never Google. At 28 years old, he's in his prime. Excellent scorer. So he could put up 20 any given game. So that's a huge asset. Frank Ntilikina. Now, Frank Ntilikina, especially Knicks fans, know that Frank Ntilikina is not the greatest offensive threat, but that's the NBA. If we're taking this to an international competition, it's a little bit different. So don't sleep on Frank Ntilikina, especially when it comes to what he can do on the defensive end. Timothy Luwawu-Cabarro. Played for Brooklyn's past season. His minutes dwindled as they got healthy, but he's turned his career around after a rough start. I think it was in OKC earlier in his career. Vincent Poirier with the Sixers. Nandu Dukolo. He hasn't played in the NBA since 2014, but he's legit. So if you go down this list, I mean, that's 3, 4, 7 guys. If you add in Yabusele, Gershon Yabusele for Boston, that played for Boston previously, I mean, that's like 9 guys with NBA experience. A lot of them current NBA experience. So that might be the team. I would say that's actually 1 or 2 when it comes to the teams I'm most concerned about when it comes to who can upset USA. The third team is going to be Slovenia. Now, you might say to yourself, Slovenia, I really don't know who they have to offer that could give us some problems. Well, let me throw out one name for you that can give us some problems here. You may have heard of him. Luka Doncic. Does that ring a bell? I would say he's a pretty nice NBA player. You know, very young player already. He has all NBA on his resume. He has all-star, multiple-time all-star, all NBA first team this season. So if we're looking at sheer talent in the league, he's up there with KD, honestly, and Damian Lillard for the best overall players in this tournament. So that automatically makes Slovenia a team to look out for because they have one of the best overall players. You can't deny the talent that Luka has. He single-handedly got this team into the Olympics. They've never been in the Olympics before in the entire history. So that is deserving of an applause. And that automatically makes them a threat because if one player can bring the team into the Olympics for the first time ever, that's a special player. And with the defensive shortcomings that I highlighted earlier, that is a huge problem for Team USA. And I completely expect him, if we play them in international competition, to have a triple-double. It's not going to come in the first 3 games because they're in Group C and USA is in Group A, but Luka's that guy, you know, Luka's that guy. So he's probably going to have freaking 30, 12, and 11 when we play him. But the key is going to be to limit his teammates because if Luka's by himself, ask the Clippers. You can win the game. That's the key to success. Don't let him get other people involved on a high level. Leave him on an island and let him tire himself out when we get to the end of the game. That's the key to victory. Now, I know I said I had 3 teams on this list, but there's a 4th that just came to mind for me. We can't forget about Australia. I already highlighted the players they have on this team from Ingles to Aaron Baines. They have a lot of tough, gritty players. Patty Mills. So I am not sleeping on this team one bit. They have a lot of guys that can give us problems. I mean, they already beat us twice in the last 3 years. So that's pretty impressive because we went a long time without losing to anyone. So I would say that's a cause for concern if we're looking at challengers. Thybul is extremely potent, as I stated before. Dante Exum and Dellavedova. So those are guys that are pesky. They can D up some of our offensive conduits on offense. They can just muck some stuff up, get under our skin. So, I mean, those guys are fighters, man. Like, Australia has got some fighters. So I'm going to sit here and say that it's going to be a fight to beat the Badgers. I believe it's the Badgers for the Australian basketball national team. They have some fighters, man. So last 2 topics I'm going to address on this podcast. The odds of winning gold is 1. If you were to put a gun to my head right now and you asked me, what are the odds of USA winning gold in this competition? Put a percentage on it. You know, I would go with 75-80%. I'm pretty confident. I'm not going to say it's a sure thing. They can definitely be upset, especially when it comes to Australia and France. They're very, very potent teams. I'll go with 75. That's how confident I feel that USA can bring home the gold once again. I'm getting more confident in this team as time goes on. The last 2 exhibition games really fortified my confidence in this team. I think they found themselves a little bit. They were lacking that in the first 2 games. They started to tap in to the advantages that makes them so unique in this tournament. Advantages that really no other country can match. So you tap into the raw talent. You move the ball a little bit more. You get some guys involved. You bring in Keldon Johnson. You bring in Drew Holiday, Chris Middleton, Booker. Man, we can just send waves of scoring onto these other teams. Like, if you have freaking Booker or Zach LaVine or Tatum off the bench, that's a tough ask for anybody in the international competition, from the top to the bottom. It doesn't matter who it is. So for this team, it's just been about getting the conditioning right. It's been about getting the chemistry right. And those are things that I think are starting to come together after four exhibition games and multiple practices. Now, the guys coming over from the finals, that's going to be a different story. We'll see how much they have left in the tank after going six games in a long season. But I'm hopeful that those reinforcements paired to the chemistry that this team has found recently, they can combine that into a gold medal run. One last thing here, guys, before I let you go. If this team fails to win gold, anything less than gold, even silver, bronze, I mean, the bar is so high for this team because you look at the history. You go back, you look at the Dream Team, what they did. You look at the Redeem Team in 08. You look at the 2012 team. You look at all those years that this team went without even losing. And then it's like, wow, the bar is as high as it gets. So if anything less than that happens, well, what is the result? What is the fallout of that? It might be time for a shakeup. This might be, I would say this is Popovich's last, I'm not going to say for sure, but it could be Popovich's last foray into international basketball. Maybe some of the decision makers are switched up, because we came in seventh in the World Cup. If we come in any less than first in this one, we could see some changes. Maybe the way this team goes about looking for players, recruiting players, changes a little bit, possibly. You know, with Beal in here, with guys like that, it's like it was still a little bit of a star grab, which, I mean, I get, because you want some of the best players in the NBA. But you also have to be cognizant of the fact that it's not just all about talent. Go ask the 2014, what's most important in this competition? And talent is very important, but a cohesive unit is more important at the end of the day. So it could be time for some things to change if they come up short. But I think in the future, if we're going to look forward to, what is it now, 2024, I don't know if they're going to go back to the normal timeline. I haven't looked into that. But whatever the next Olympics is, the process could look a little bit different as far as finding those players. And it's definitely a new era for us, guys. I mean, there's Kobe is gone. LeBron is probably done for good. Kawhi is probably done for good. I don't think Kawhi ever actually played in the Olympics. That's crazy to think about. But a lot of these guys that we saw in 12 and 16, could be it for them, you know? So we're going to have to wait and see what comes of this team after this run. But hopefully when the next Olympics shows up, when it's time for that, this team is a little bit healthier and we have access to the absolute top tier players again. So we're not running up against the freaking finals. You know, that's definitely a huge obstacle we ran into this year because of the circumstances we live in. But I'm pretty confident that in the next Olympics, we'll get access to the guys. Like, hope Anthony Davis can play next time around. Maybe if Paul George still feels up to it, he can give it another go. And then the next stars. I can't wait for the next stars to get their chance. I mean, Trae Young was disappointed. He didn't get in next time. This time, I would say next time is his time to shine. John Morant. I mean, down the board, Zion. If Cade Cunningham jumps out and becomes a star, you know, he could jump in next time. So it's going to be a fun future for USA. And I think the pipeline is bright even now as the stars of old make way for the next crop of stars that we're just so excited to see in Olympic basketball. But that's going to do it for me, guys, on this episode. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We really appreciate your presence on these episodes. If you want to check out some more of our content, that's going to be available at BC Basketball 2 on Twitter and Instagram. bcbasketball.info is going to be the website. They can check out our blog post. The free agent list has been updated if you want to check that out. We have some resources that we're going to make available to you guys as we get closer to the draft, free agency, the rest of the offseason. But thanks to guys again for tuning in. Enjoy the rest of your day. Enjoy this offseason. Enjoy the Olympics as we move forward into the 2021 competitions. And we'll be back next week once again with some more NBA coverage. So until then, we'll see you guys next time around. Take care.